Shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you that you are the God who speaks, spoken throughout time, and continues to speak to us. Lord, would you give us open ears and hearts and minds to hear what you are saying to each one of us this morning. And Father, will you use my words for your glory? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you don't know me, my name's Sam. I'm the curate on the team here at St. Barnabas. I'm going to be spending a bit of time looking at this passage from Isaiah 61, so you might like to have it open in front of you if you've got your pew Bibles there in front of you. And we're also going to take the opportunity this morning in Advent to spend some time in reflection as well during this time together, in quiet reflection, open to God speaking to us and preparing us. As we look at these great words from the book of Isaiah, the words of that well-known Christmas carol, "God Rest You, Merry Gentlemen," can be almost heard ringing out. O tidings of comfort and joy. Tidings of comfort and joy. And I think that carol and this passage capture so well, don't they? One of the great tensions, one of the great struggles of the Christian life, between the need for comfort as we walk this earth and journey the lives that we have with the struggles and the pains that we face living in this broken world, and yet at the same time the great joy of knowing God as our Saviour and the great joys we've just sung in that song of looking forward to the day to come. And so this passage is continuing that idea. It's picking up from Isaiah 40 that we looked at last week. Think about images of comfort and restoration and reward. And just as it was written in a specific situation, time and place, we read it this morning with so much richness for us today as well, don't we? And I think it's hard for those of us who've been around church for a while to read these verses from Isaiah 61 and not to think immediately of Jesus reading this passage in Luke 4, which I'm going to read those verses to us now, verses 14 to 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And in Luke's account of Jesus' life, this is when things really begin to start moving. Up to this point in the gospel, we've had the account of the first Christmas and Jesus' two temple visits as a child, John the Baptist, Jesus' temptations in the desert. Then we're straight into this passage. Jesus announcing what he's here to do, what he's all about. And as we continue in this season of Advent, waiting to celebrate Jesus' birth, this passage that we're looking at this morning helps us to remember the project that Jesus had. And as we, at this time of year, also inevitably look back over the year that we've had, I've been thinking about some of the things we've been learning as a church in our preaching series over this year. And as part of the City Vision series that we've been doing in the evening, one of our guest speakers that came in to share some of what God is doing in our town at the moment, was Heather Black, who runs Together Middlesbrough in Cleveland. She came in to speak to us, and she picked this passage from Luke 4, Jesus pulling these words from Isaiah 61 to use as a basis to speak about the great work that Together Middlesbrough is doing here in our town. And the way that she talked about it, you might want to listen to the whole thing again, it's still online. She talks about Jesus answering the question, why am I here? Using these amazing words. Jesus wanted to minister to people struggling with the poverty of identity, the poverty of resources, and the poverty of relationships. And of course, it's great that our very own Vanessa Kirby is now the new development worker for Red Car in Cleveland, for Together Middlesbrough in Cleveland. So do be praying for her. She's still in the early days of that important role that she's taken on for that charity and the great work that they do. So we see Jesus using this passage to say, this is what I'm here for. This is what I'm all about. Jesus launches his ministry in Galilee using these amazing words from Isaiah. But God continues to do this work, doesn't he, through the Holy Spirit. These amazing things that were proclaimed by the prophet in Isaiah 61, taken up by Jesus in Luke 4, continue to be the work that God is about. So for us, as we gather here today, when we need these things, we can ask God by his Holy Spirit to minister to them to us, to bring them to us. And that's one of the things we'll have the opportunity to do later as we have time for reflection. But of course, as we gather here this morning, learning the news of Roland's death, these words are particularly relevant to us, aren't they? Verses 2 and 3. To comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion. This is a key part of God's ministry, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the one alongside us. And many of us will need that particularly this morning, God's ministry of comfort and strength at this time of grief. I'd encourage you to turn to God at this time, to ask him to be your strength through this time of grief. And as always in Advent, we're drawn both to look backwards and to look forwards. And in the end, the last couple of verses of the chapter, we see this looking forwards. The prophet speaks of the new Jerusalem and uses imagery like we read in Revelation 21. The people of God as they're dressed like a bride, ready for Jesus, the ultimate bridegroom, clothed in righteousness and salvation. And in verse 11, we see a picture of what a recreated earth will look like, righteousness and praise springing up, being so close to us, so near to us, they're springing up. So as we read these words this morning, we know that Jesus claimed them for himself and that they will be fully realized in the age to come. But as we look back and look forward, we also root ourselves here today. And we read these words as the divine command to go out and bring healing to our broken world, to be Christ to others. Because surely the point of incarnation is not to distance Jesus from us, but the opposite. The incarnation asks us to see ourselves as the image and likeness of God, who's had the whole dominion of the whole world, as we read about in Genesis 1. And in that capacity, the image is a charge to act justly within this world, which still has so much injustice and violence and prejudice and oppression. We show Christ's image most clearly when we serve, just as he did. So as we read Isaiah 61 in Advent, we see these great words of hope and comfort for us. And at the same time, we also hear the call for us to be the people through whom divine justice becomes a reality in our communities and across the whole world. On Wednesday, a small group of us went into Cleveland College of Art and Design down there on Roman Road. We were invited to do a small carol service for the students down there, and we used several pieces of art to help the students to engage with the service, including this massive baby scan image that we've borrowed from Sheffield Cathedral, who are very kind in lending that to us. And the one on the right-hand side there, which is a painting my friend Anna did, a reflection on Joseph and his surprise and his part in the story when God tells him all that's going on through that dream. And we had Hazel Murray, who's a member of our church here and a fine art student. She's there on the left doing a live art painting as we were going, as we were singing. Again, a way of trying to draw the students in. They also had the chance to participate themselves and write about and draw about what Christmas meant to them. And we also used this prayer installation called Unlocking, based on these promises from Isaiah 61. The promises that the Saviour of the world would bring good news to the oppressed, would bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and release to prisoners. And as we were preparing this, and Becky put together all these, all the keys have tags on, and all the tags have prayer requests, and she just texted some of our friends to ask them for prayer requests for places and situations and people that needed freedom and release. And I think she was overwhelmed, really, by just, I think within an hour, everybody that she'd text had all texted straight back with several situations that came immediately to mind where that needed God's intervention, that needed God to bring his hand of blessing, to unlock, to bring release. So there's lots of situations here on the board. You can see there are even more hung up when we did it on Wednesday. And of course, if any of us were to sit down and read them all and try and... It's overwhelming, really, to be aware of all the things that are on there and all the things that we carry as a community too. It would be impossible for any of us to get involved in all of these situations in any meaningful way, given the capacity that we have. And that's okay, isn't it? That's realistic. As we look forward to the day when Jesus returns and puts everything right, we're called just to play our part, just to do what we can, to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, proclaim release for the darkness, from darkness for the prisoners, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve. So I think that question for us this morning, 2 weeks away from the end of this year and the beginning of the next, is what one situation do you want to see unlocked next year in 2018? What's the situation, the issue that God has put on your heart, that God has given you the passion to see changed? And I'd imagine that something has already come to mind, something that God's already been speaking to you about. But if it doesn't, or there are several fighting for your attention, ask God to guide you and to illuminate the priority for you. How can you work and pray in 2018 to see breakthrough and release? And we're just going to take a moment in the quiet to pause, to reflect, to ask God to begin to show us that now. Jesus, key of David and scepter of the house of Israel, you open and no one can shut. You shut and no one can open. Come and lead the prisoners from the prison house, those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death. Amen. The next question from this passage is, what one thing do you want God to unlock in you? Where do you long for freedom and release in your own life? What attitude, belief, or pattern of behavior is holding you back from living more of the life that God is calling you to live? What one thing do you want God to unlock in you? And of course, it's not something that we can do on our own. It's not something we can do in our own strength. But it's the work of the Holy Spirit in us that we open ourselves up to and invite him to do in us. So we're going to take another moment for reflection. And during it, I would encourage you to pray, to ask God the Holy Spirit to reveal one thing to you. And as you do that, please remember that our God is not the God that condemns us, but the one who disciplines us as a loving parent. And begin to ask God to do the work of unlocking that thing in you. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the things that you have been revealing to us, the work that you long to do in us. Lord, would you help us to be a people open to you, bringing your work of ongoing redemption and restoration and renewal. Lord, would you do this work in us to make us more like Jesus for your glory. Amen. And as a final topic of reflection for us this morning, I think as we live in the culture we do, we find it impossible not to be a captive to a greater or lesser extent to consumerism. And again, this is one of the things we've been exploring as a church this year through our sermon series in the evening, looking at Archbishop Welby's book, Dethroning Mammon, which I'd recommend. Maybe you could get it on your Christmas list if it's not too late. It's a helpful, if challenging, and at times disturbing book on this important subject. And of course, at this time of year, leading up to Christmas, the consumerism that saturates so much of our culture is particularly ramped up, isn't it? The link between love and gifts is made so much more explicit, and it's so easy to get caught up in it all, isn't it? And I think particularly it's so hard as Christians to walk the line between celebration that we're called to do, which is a good biblical principle, particularly at Christmas, and excess. How do we walk that line appropriately? Such a challenge for us as we seek wisdom on that. I heard the other day that Colby Newham Baptists and St. Cuthbert's Martin and the Catholic Cathedral are doing the big Colby Christmas Carol sing-along this afternoon in the Parkway Centre. And I just thought this was great, because if consumerism is the modern-day empire for Christians to resist and subvert, then surely the shopping mall is the heart of the empire. And I love the idea of these churches going right into the thick of it, standing right in the middle of the shopping centre, singing these amazing carols, proclaiming these beautiful, powerful truths about Jesus. And more than that, to be inviting people in, inviting people to be joining their voices in singing these amazing songs of hope and joy. Opening wide the invitation for a deeper celebration this Christmas. And that's a challenge to us too, isn't it? Certainly a challenge to me. How can we take steps to stop the empire of consumerism crowding out the celebrations of that fragile baby born to a vulnerable family? The baby born to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom and release, to proclaim God's favor and judgment and comfort. So in a final moment of quiet for reflection, what can you do this Advent to break, to challenge some of the hold that consumerism has on you? How in the next couple of weeks can you resist some of the tide sweeping us along to buy more, to consume more, to measure our value and worth by the things we own? Lord God, we admit that it's hard to live the way that you call us to live counterculturally, to live showing that another way is possible. So, Lord, would you help us, strengthen us, and guide us by your Spirit? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So to finish, we've got a couple more images on the screen. This one is of balloons having been released. And I think this image sums up a lot of what this chapter, Isaiah 61, is about, because it speaks of freedom, of release, of heading on, of traveling on the way towards the way God wants things to be. And finally, how about this image? Stood on the edge of a vast ocean with a magnificent sky stretching out in front of you, filled with a glorious sunset, arms out wide. That looks like freedom to me. And I think this is what this passage is speaking to us about. The life of a Jesus follower is an invitation into an ever greater freedom, the true freedom that is found in submitting ourselves to the God who is the binder of the brokenhearted, the releaser of the captives, the comforter of the mourners, the rebuilder and restorer, the one who renews. This is our God. This is the one who invites us in to experience that work for ourselves. And at the same time, the one who empowers us, the people the Lord has blessed, to do this work, to be Christ to others. Let's pray. Lord God, may we be people who know your freedom in our lives. Holy Spirit, please empower us to be people who bring freedom into the lives of those around us and the situations that we find ourselves in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.